Welcome to Singing and Other Sins, a production of Hawaii Public Radio, funded by the Bauer Foundation and supporters like you. Many thanks, member supporters. I'm Blair Boonmagura, your host for the afternoon. On this edition of Singing and Other Sins, we welcome a special guest, American conductor, collaborative pianist, and vocal coach, Thomas Morocco. Known for being one of the finest collaborative pianists before the public today, Morocco has earned such accolades through a combination of technical virtuosity, tonal beauty, and a unique understanding of the underlying poetry of music. His performances in major concert halls throughout the United States, Canada, Central America, Europe, and Asia reflect his command of a repertoire remarkable for its complete range of musical styles, periods, and forms. Morocco is on faculty at the Manhattan School of Music in New York, and he often judges vocal competitions throughout the world, including the Metropolitan Opera National Council auditions. Morocco also had the honor of assisting the preparation and performances of La Bohème under the direction of Leonard Bernstein, and we'll talk about that later today. We'll chat with Morocco about his amazing career and inspiring work with a range of collaborative performers like tenor Ben Heppner, contra alto Maureen Forrester, and mezzo Delora Zacik, to name a few. But before we begin our chat with Thomas Morocco, let's listen to Schubert's well-known lied, Der Jüngling an der Quelle, with Morocco and bass baritone Jan Opolach. Welcome, Tom. It's good to have you with us.
It's great to be here in Hawaii with this gorgeous weather.
Excellent. Well, in full disclosure, I do call him Tom because he is not only our guest for the afternoon, but he's a good friend, and we're happy to have him with us today. So, Tom, before we get started, I think one of the areas I'd like to touch on before talking about some of the amazing performers that you've worked with is a particular conductor, an American conductor, an icon in music that you've worked with, Leonard Bernstein. Can you talk a bit about how it came to be that you got to work with Leonard Bernstein and what that amazing experience must have been like?
Well, the way we met was because through Stephen Wadsworth, who called me up one day and said, Tom, could you come down to Lenny's apartment? He's having some auditions and he needs a pianist. I said, oh, sure. I said, what are they doing? He said, oh, just standard rep. So I said, okay. So I got dressed up and I went down to his apartment right down the street from where I live. And I walked in and there were a bunch of singers standing around looking pretty frantic. And I said, who's singing? They said, oh, we all are. I said, well, what are you singing? And this tenor came up to me and he said, you don't know? I said, no. He said, I'm singing ZZ's song from Songfest of Lenny. I said, oh my God. I said, I've never heard it. I don't know anything about it. I've never seen it. Give me that music quick. So he handed me the music. I looked at it. His first measure was in 7/4, I think. And
oh,
I'm thinking,
goodness.
Oh my Lord, I'm going to sight read for the composer. Oh my God, why? So anyway, I read it. I went through it with him. I read it myself. Then we had at least 15 or 20 minutes before Lenny came in, thank God. So I was able to sort of assimilate the piece. So Lenny comes in, and I said, Maestro, I'm very sorry, but I've never seen this piece. I've never heard Songfest. He said, don't worry. He said, you're going to be, and he used an expletive, which he did a lot, you're going to be great. He said, Stephen told me all about you. And I was like shaking in my boots. Anyway, to make a long story short, after we finished doing it, Lenny came running up to me, threw his arms around me and said, I see, I told you, that was great. I couldn't have played it better myself. So I thought, oh, God. And from that, he hired me to play the rehearsals for La Bohème, which we did in 87 in Rome, and we rehearsed in New York. And so that was how I got to meet him and to be incredibly inspired by this man who could make a rock sing. He was an amazing human being, and I was so drawn to him and his charisma, the way he lived, breathed, slept music. It was just so much a part of his soul that it just emanated from every part of his being. So it was one of the greatest experiences of my life to have done the rehearsals, gone to Rome, rehearsed there, listen, try to be his ears in the hall. And I must say, I don't think anyone, I've never been influenced so much by a person's soul and also energy. Because at that point, you know, he was not very far from dying, but you didn't know it because his energy was just spectacular.
That's excellent. And I love that you call Leonard Bernstein Lenny.
Not to his face.
Not to his face.
But
okay.
Most people did. Many people did. I certainly called him Maestro.
Maestro. Okay. Well, as you know, our program Singing and Other Sins is dedicated to the art song repertoire and the recital format. So we couldn't think of a better guest to have on with us today because of your amazing career partnering with prominent singers some of which we'll hear today or some of whom we'll hear today. Like Ben Heppner and Maureen Forrester. So we just listened to Der Jüngling an der Quelle by Schubert with Jan Opelach. Do you care to say anything about that particular lied?
That is one of the most beautiful and simple songs of Schubert, talking basically about a young boy who is bemoaning the fact that his beloved Luisa is no longer his. And all the things in nature remind him of her.
Beautiful. Well, what are we going to hear next, Tom?
This is a song from Winterreise of Schubert. It's called Gefrorenen Tränen, and it means frozen tears. And this is John Cheek, bass baritone, with myself at the piano, from a recording of Winterreise.
Doch aus der Quelle.
You're listening to Singing in Other Sins, and we're here with our special guest, Thomas Morocco, collaborative pianist and American vocal coach. Let's see, Tom, I think next on our list is Strauss.
Das Rosenband.
Das Rosenband. Okay. With Ben Heppner. Can you talk a bit about your collaboration with Ben?
Well, Ben is a spectacular operatic tenor, but he's also really quite an incredible recital singer. This recording is taken from a performance in Berlin at the Philharmonie, and where we did a variety of repertoire. But of course, the Germans were especially turned on to the Schubert and Strauss we did. Ben is a really superb musician, singer, linguist, and also as a colleague. Traveling with him is such a pleasure. And also on stage, he never plays the Devo that so many other singers might.
Und
So, Tom, as a young musician in training, you had the chance to meet one of your idols, Swedish dramatic soprano Birgit Nilsson. Can you maybe talk a little bit about a delightfully amusing encounter that you had with her that you shared with me once?
I was probably about 18, and my teacher, Brooke Smith, at Eastman School of Music, asked me would I turn pages for him because he was jumping in to play a concert for her because her regular pianist had, I think, broken his arm. So we were backstage, and she was poured into this sky blue dress with silver sequins. I remember it so well. And very low cut. And at one point, we're standing around, and she turned to me and she said, "Darling, darling, you must help me." I said, "Oh, of course, Miss Nilsson. What can I do?" She said, "Are they straight?" I said, "Pardon me? I don't know what you mean." She said, "Look, darling, are they straight?" And she pointed to her bosom. And I said, I didn't know what to say. She said, "Help me, darling, help me. You must help. No mirror, you must help." So I said, "Yes, left up." And she said, "Left up, okay." And then right down. Right down. Now, tell me, are they straight? I said, "Yes, Miss Dilson." She said, "Okay, we go." She was, first of all, she sang like the heavens were pouring down on us. She came out and she started with Dich teure Halle.
Oh, wow.
And then she went on to sing gorgeous group of Strauss. I remember her singing Wiegenlied, which is like a thread of sound. And in her voice, it was stunning. Long, long, long phrases. And the other song I can never forget was Anacreon's Grab of Wolf, which she sang with, it's in the middle voice, it's just very gentle. So not only was she a Wagnerian trumpet in some cases, but she could spin the most gentle and legato line that I had ever heard. She was amazing, amazing person, one of my idols, true.
What are we going to hear next, Tom?
This is from Le Travail du Peintre of Poulenc. This is Georges Braque. So the poetry depicts the painter's style. So it starts out with Un oiseau s'envole. It talks about birds. It talks about mankind. It talks about dreams. Each poem of Éluard is painting the picture of the painter. So it's really, it's an incredible cycle.
Georges Braque.
We continue listening to Thomas Morocco and Maureen Forrester in two more settings, this time, actually three more settings, this time by the composer Hugo Wolf. What do you have to share with us about your time with Maureen and your interpretations of this particular composer.
Well, Maureen was one of my absolute favorite colleagues, and I miss her desperately. On stage, she was so completely egalitarian with me. We would walk out on stage, and before we would bow to the audience, she would bow to me and I to her. We would turn. And the first time she did it, I didn't know what she was doing. But I just sort of turned with her, and we bowed to each other, and then we bowed to the audience. And I just thought that was amazing. And she probably, as much as any great singer, became the poem. She became that young girl or that old woman or that middle-aged woman she was singing about or that man, if it was a man. She never phoned in anything. She never vocalized on stage. She always, always completely became the character as if she had lived that character's life, no matter who she was. It was always full of color, full of deep, deep emotions. There were times in performances when the audience couldn't applaud at the end of a song because they were just mesmerized by her magic. And she did this very, very naturally. It wasn't like she ever thought about it, or I don't think she did much research. She was a natural performer and actress.
Marvelous. Well, can you tell us about the three pieces that we're going to hear from you and Maureen?
These are three songs from the Italienisches Liederbuch of Hugo Wolf. The first is Wer rief dich denn, which is a young girl saying, who called you here? Who told you to come? Go to the lover that you prefer. And who called you here? Who asked you to come? So it's very biting and very strong. Yeah. This woman is very strong. The next is Ihr jungen Leute, which is a young girl seeing her boyfriend going off to war. And she says, please take care of him because he's never, ever been out under the moon by himself. And I'm afraid he's so delicate. I'm afraid it would just kill him. Please take care of him, saying to the soldiers as they're marching off. And the third one is Wir haben beide lange Zeit geschwiegen. We've been silent for a long time, but overnight the angels of love came down to us and brought back speech and took away war. They obviously had been fighting. It's very tender and extremely touching. So these are three different Italian girls, full of spunk, full of life, full of every quality that's possible.
Hast. Geh nur in dein Sehen.
You are listening to Singing and Other Sins. We're here with our special guest, American conductor, pianist, and vocal coach, Thomas Morocco. So, Tom, you've spoken in the past about the fact that the operas La Voix Humaine and Les Dialogues des Carmélites of Francis Poulenc are two of your favorite operas to conduct. Maybe can you talk a little bit about your conducting and what it's like to, or maybe some of your favorite pairings, particularly in the area of song, both in terms of collaborative pianist and singer, but as well as maybe a joining of text by a composer and poet?
Probably, I would say that Verlaine with Debussy or Fauré is one of my favorite duos, especially when I first studied La Bonne Chanson of Fauré, which are all love songs to his wife, whom he tried to be in love with, but that really wasn't for him because of the relationship with Rimbaud. I think that that's one of my favorite collaborations in terms of poetry and music. Also, the Mörike with Wolf and the Müller cycles, Die Schöne Müllerin, as well as Winterreise of Schubert. And practically all of the songs of Poulenc, which he's always choosing poets that are either very evocative of color and mood, or he's choosing something that's very sad, like C, J'ai traversé les ponts de C. The poet Aragon is recalling what France was like before the war and also after the war. And then I think in terms of pairing of pianist and singer, I would say Fischer Dieskau with Gerald Moore always touched me. And then until I heard Fischer Dieskau do Winterreise with Danny Barenboim, and I thought, wow, there's a whole nother level of pianism that can partner Fischer Dieskau.
Wow, excellent. And your work as a composer, as a conductor?
Composing, I never. I have no talent at all. I leave that to better people than I.
Yes, yes.
As a conductor, well, I've conducted a lot of operas at Manhattan School of Music. I'm about to do La Voix Humaine on April 21st and 23rd, coupled with Suor Angelica. And those two pieces have always fascinated me because of the fact that it's written for one woman and then for a bunch of women. But it's both in terms of La Voix Humaine. Here's a woman who is being left by her lover, and he's getting married to someone else. Suor Angelica is such tragedy because she's been put into the convent because of being pregnant out of wedlock, and her aunt comes to tell her that the child whom she's been waiting to hear from, who's now 7 years old, died. Mm. And the aunt is totally heartless and has no compassion for her whatsoever. And from then, she loses her mind and poisons herself. I happen to love tragedy. So I love conducting tragedy. I love conducting dialogue because of the tragedy there. I loved Butterfly. It's not that I don't like comedy. I just did Don Pasquale. But if I had my choice, let me cry.
Tragedy and opera go hand in hand. A little Sturm und Drang. What are we going to listen to next, Tom?
The next is an instrumental coupling that I feel very strongly about. Myself and Peter Winograd, who is the first violinist of the American String Quartet. And we did a recital where we played four violin sonatas, which I think was insane. But the second piece before intermission was the Grieg C minor sonata. And this is the slow movement of that, which is sort of a duo for both of us. But it also, when you hear the theme, you'll hear it's just like a song. Thank you.
You're listening to Singing in Other Sins. I'm Blair Bumagura, your host, and I'm here with American pianist and vocal coach and conductor Thomas Morocco. Tom, what are we going to listen to next?
This is one of my favorite songs by, and again, this is sort of leading from Grieg into Sibelius. This is Ben Heppner and myself doing, I hope my Swedish is not fluent, Flickan kom ifrån sin älsklingsmöte, which means the girl coming from the meeting with her lover.
Next up on our list of musical pairings, you are with a very famous mezzo-soprano. Care to tell us about this next artist?
This is Dolores Zajac, who is known to be the foremost dramatic mezzo in the world, singing Verdi, singing every Verdi role and many other roles, even many bel canto roles as well. And many people don't realize that she has a huge love of song. And we did a recital in which they had asked her to do many, many arias. But she said, I won't do an all-aria program. I have to put some songs. And so she picked some Ives, which she adores, and Rachmaninoff. So this is a song of Rachmaninoff called Melodia. And I need to let you hear it. What it's about. And this shows a side of Dolores that people don't know, which is that she can sing piano, that she can sing beautiful long lines, that she's not just a dramatic voice, that she has a love for this music.
Cross high and love is pretty.
You're listening to Singing in Other Sins. I'm your host, Blair Boone-Magura, and I'm sitting here today with my special guest and friend, Tom Arocco, American conductor, pianist, and vocal coach. Tom, in the past, you've partnered with many renowned performers like Denise Graves, Ben Heppner, Maureen Forrester, John Ayler. The list goes on. But can you talk a little bit about your time with the mezzo-soprano and famed teacher Jenny Turrell? I know you played for her masterclasses in the past.
I met Jenny in Aspen when I was a student. I think I was 18. And part of my scholarship was to play for her masterclasses. And I had been warned that Jenny ate pianists for breakfast. and they said, oh, you better be really alert. Well, we hit it off unbelievably. She once said in a class, playing for the first time in my life, Du Rêve from the Poésie Lyrique of Debussy, which I had just learned because somebody wanted to sing it. And Jenny, at the end of the performance, turned to the class and she said, class, I want you to know that Tom has the spirit of Monsieur Debussy in his fingers. And then she turned to the singer and said, not you. You have so much work to do. It is incredible. So she could be murderous on singers. She loved me. For whatever reason, she loved me. I loved her. She inspired me because when I listened to her sing, no matter what language she sang in, I remember the first time I heard her sing in Russian, which she spoke, she showed me pictures as she sang of every word, not every word, but the gist of what she was saying. I didn't know one word of Russian then.
Oh, wow.
But it turned me on so much that I even remember saying to her, Miss Terrell, I want to be able to understand Russian. She said, darling, of course, you must study it. You must learn how to read Cyrillic. So you read the Cyrillic and you are smart. You will learn. So I did. She inspired me, and especially because when she sang, again, she, similar to Maureen, personified those girls. She could convince you that she was a 15-year-old girl, even though she was quite up in years when I heard her, and could convince you that she was a raving beauty. And so Jenny was an important part of my education, especially in terms of song, because she knew every song there was, practically.
Wonderful. Well, what are we going to listen to now, Tom?
Now you're going to hear a performance of an Israeli folk song called Eli Eli. I think this arrangement is by Menachem Wiesenberg. And the singer is a contralto also named Mira Zakai, who is also a dear friend. She tells you on the recording about the poet who was captured by the Nazis and assassinated. She was actually an incredibly strong lady who would not let them blindfold her when they shot her. She said, I want to face my murderers. I read this and I was just so touched by this. Anyway, Mira sings this song, which I was so touched by because of what it means. And as she'll read it to you and I'm pretty sure you'll get the same feeling.
A prayer. It was written by Hannah Senesch, who was caught by the Nazis and executed during the war. She was a parachute who came to Europe in an effort to save Jews. And she was a great poet. And this is one of the songs she wrote when she was still in Israel. It's on the beach of Caesarea, walking and praying, oh God, let it never end. Let the sea continue its murmur. Let the sky be blue. And let there be always the prayer of men. especially Thomas, for becoming so Israeli in such a short period of time.
Tom chose to end the hour by returning to his collaboration with contralto Maureen Forrester in John Jacob Niles's Last from the Low Country. Before we enjoy our last song, I'd like to thank our guest, Thomas Morocco, for sharing such wonderful live recordings with such prominent artists. I'm Blair Bumagura, your host of Singing in Other Sins. We look forward to having you with us again next week. Aloha.